Canto 32. Had I the bitter grating rhymes to fit this grim hole on which all other rocks bear down, I'd do a better job of it when pressing out my thought's sap. But what blocks the flow is just that, my soft, childish tongue. It is with fear that I begin to speak, because a language we employ when young, we call our mother mummy, is too weak to use even in sport when touching on the lowest level of the universe. But may the muses who helped Amphion to build the walls of Thebes now reimburse my service to them and give me the tools to match the brute facts with the tale I tell. Ah, traitors! Beyond all the separate schools of misbegotten sinners in this well so hard to speak of, you had best have been brought here as sheep and goats. Down in the dark cistern below the giant's feet we'd seen only the wall above us, high and stark, when I heard said to me, "Watch where you tread. The wretched weary brothers locked below can't move, and you might tread on someone's head." At which I turned and saw that it was so. Before me and beneath my feet, a lake was made by ice to look much more like glass than water. Northern rivers, though you take the Danube or the Don, could not surpass this hardness even under their cold sky of winter, when their veils grow thick to freeze their flow. A mountain would have had to fly and fall on this from any height you please. Mount Tambernick or Pietrapanna, I leave you to choose, for it to show a crack or creak at the thin edge. And as the frog that sits, with muzzle out and body slack below the water, will croak through the fog of reverie that wraps the peasant maid who gleans her flax, so livid up to where shame flushes in the face, each suffering shade lay in the ice, and all with their teeth bare and set to make the sound of the stork's bill. Each keeps his face bent down, but testifies with how his mouth looks to the killing chill, confessing his heart's misery with his eyes. I looked around the while. Then at my feet I saw two pressed together, so the hair of their heads mingled. I said, "You that meet with such strain chest to chest while lying there, who are you?" They bent back their necks, those two. And when their faces were raised up, I saw their eyes, which had held tears as sad eyes do, but all within the lids now shed far more, that spilled over the brim, and the frost tied their tears between them, and the two were locked as hard as beam, and beam lie side by side, squeezed by the clamp's jaws. Whereupon each shocked the other. Butting heads, like goats they vied, such fury ruled them. And one who had lost both ears from cold, his face still turned down, spoke, "Why do you gaze so long into the frost and see yourself with us like frozen smoke? If you would know who these two were, the stream so sweetly named Bisentio flows through their father's valley, which it was the scheme of each to own, and that's what led them to their crime against each other. From one womb they came, and all of Caina you may search, and find no shade more suited to a tomb of crystal ice. Their fate was to besmirch their father's name, Alberto. Even he, whose breast and shadow, pierced with just one blow from Arthur, gaped so deep that men could see right through him. I mean, Mordred isn't so deserving of the place that these hold, nor Focaccia of Pistoia, who began the feud of blacks and whites, nor him before my eyes here, this infuriating man, who constantly obstructs me with his head so that I can't see past. His name was Sassol Mascheroni, who thought he merited his nephew's wealth and killed him. If the role of Florentines includes you, then his fame is known to you. But now that you spare me the task of talking further, know my name is Camichon de Pazzi. I will be exonerated by a greater shame, Carlino's, when a castle of the whites is given up by him." And after that, I saw a thousand faces from dogfights, all snarling with the cold, so looking at a frozen pond I shudder still today. And when we neared the central point, where all of gravity converges, on my way in fear along the strange floor of that hall, I shivered in the long chill. Then, by fate, or chance, I can't be sure which, as I stepped among the heads, I trod on one, full weight, square in its face. It shouted as it wept, "Why do you trample me? Unless you come because you think revenge for your defeat at Montaperti has not reached a sum sufficient, why choose my poor cheeks to beat? Because my face is cold, you think it numb?" And I, "My master, wait now for me here, before you make me hasten as you wish. But first, through this man, I have doubts to clear." My master stopped, and to the feverish blasphemer I said, "You that so revile another, who are you?" "And who are you," the answer came, "that walks the dreadful mile through Antenora, named for that man who betrayed Troy to the Greeks, and kicks my face harder than if he lived?" "I live indeed," I said. "And if in fame you seek a place, so that your name is seen by all who read, my noting it may be worth much to you." And he to me, "I crave the opposite. Get out of here, if that's all you can do, and give me no more grief. You lack the wit to flatter at this depth." And then I took him by the hair and said, "Your name, right now, or I will make your scalp an open book." And then he said, "Even if you knew how to strip me bald, my name you'll not be told, nor would I tell you even if you fell upon my helpless head 1,000-fold. I had his hair already in my fist, twisted, one tuft torn out and set for more. He barked but held his head down as my wrist quivered to tear again. "But why so sore, Bocca?" cried someone else. "You're not content with jawbone music, now you have to bark? What devil drives you to this new lament?" "Well, now that I'm no longer in the dark," I said, "foul traitor, I can take in spite of you a true report." "Say what you like, just go," he said. "But back there in the light, be sure of him just now so keen to strike, you tell the tale. For down here he laments the silver the French gave him when he waved them into Italy. Speak in this sense. Just say, 'I saw him of Duero, saved to cool with all the other traitors.' Should they ask you who was here, beside you lies from Beccaria, he that plans no good against the Guelphs in Florence, and his prize was getting his throat slit, sent by the Pope, and then sent here. And then there's that two-faced Gianni the Soldanier, at last, we hope, pleased that he knows exactly how he's placed, who should have hung from both ends of a rope. And further on is Ganelon, the cause of Roland's death, traitor to Charlemagne, and Tebaldello, who flung wide the doors of slumbering Faenza so that pain could enter in." But we had left him there, already, when I saw two in one hole, fast frozen, so that one head seemed to wear the other for a hood, and the damned soul above was fastened on the one below, as hungry men chew bread, but at the spot where brain and neck's nape meet. Exactly so. Tydeus of the Seven Kings, who got his mortal wound from Menalippus, chewed the temples of his killer from sheer rage. This one assaulted, as if they were food, the skull and other parts. "You there, that wage a war of hatred against him you eat, and prove it with the signs of a mad beast, why do you do this?" I asked. "Let us meet in this agreement. If there is at least some reason for your manner of complaint against him, I, if only I knew you, and what his sin was, could remove the taint from your name in the world above. It's true, the tongue I talk with has to stay intact. So far it has. So far it hasn't cracked."